Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's great to be here with you on Lifestyle. I'm Patty Mack, and we're here with you every Saturday on CFAX from 1 to 2. Today is a great show. We're going to talk to Chef Teresa Carl Sanders and talk about what's in season, what to shop for, some fall classics, and also her work with Outlanders, some of the new food and the new series. Off the top of the show, we're talking to Charlene Ionescu from Aesthetic Concept Design Services about home offices that work, because whether we work from home or just have an office in the home, it usually becomes a catch-all, maybe a room we haven't really designed that well, that it may be a room that someone used to have as their bedroom that we decide to keep as an office or what have you. And sometimes people do a makeshift office in a kitchen or a cupboard. So Charlene's going to walk us through the history of the home office and then also some ideas to make that area special, especially this time of year as we head into a new productive season. How are you, Charlene?
I'm fine, Patty. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, I know you're working hard because we'll talk later about it, but I know you're a teacher as well as everything else. And you're going to give us a little bit of a lesson today, a little history lesson on offices.
Yes, I was thinking the home office basically is the area of the house that changed the most, I would say, within the last 10 to 15 years. Mm-hmm. And the major influence is due to the technological advances, and it really did influence the way we use other rooms in our house, too. Actually, a funny fact today is that there are more computers in the home than bathrooms.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Figure out that for all the toys we have now to communicate, it adds up.
So I know. I just took our son to UBC, and it was amazing the amount of stuff that was mostly electronics that goes along with a person when they move.
And it actually became indispensable.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. It's amazing how it's become something, no matter what our age is, that we kind of can't live without.
Yes, and remember, I would say 10 to 15 years ago, you know, a small count of space in the kitchen would have been enough for most home offices.
Absolutely.
And then from there, we moved the home office to the guest room, and we installed a desk.
Yeah. Maybe a bed in there, yeah.
And we also, you know, we were making do of the furniture that were already in that guest space.
Mm-hmm.
Then the guest room was reduced to give the home office a little bit more space. And in some occasions, the full or queen-size bed was changed for a sofa bed or a Murphy bed. It became more and more important to have a space dedicated for the computer. It was the computer of the home, if you remember.
Yes, absolutely. It needed a lot of room around it. It wasn't a laptop.
It wasn't a laptop. That was the desktop era, and it needed a more permanent location in the house. And the home office was then located usually in a public area of the house, such as a living room or a library for those who have the luxury of having more spaces. Or the point being that the parents felt the need to supervise their children when they were using the computers.
That was very true. When our kids were growing up, most of the friends had computers that were like on the kitchen somewhere out front, and people saw them.
Yes. And what happened is that the home office changed vocation one more time once the smaller portable devices, electronic devices, came on the market. You know, it also became more difficult to supervise the children's computer activities.
Right, and they became much more, I mean, young people take them with them. They can be on their bed, they can be anywhere. They don't need to be in an office and usually don't want to be.
Yes, so from, at the time, a lot less people were working from home. So from that era that we only wanted a little piece of corner to either look for the recipes or pay the bills. Or, and then from a full-blown room for the computer desktop station, and after that we moved into the portable era, we don't actually need a home office unless we are working from home today.
I find, though, Charlene, you know, over the years, I used to operate stuff out of the cupboard and, you know, wherever. And, you know, I'm in real estate and there's rentals. And, you know, I kind of wonder now how I did that. But now one child's out of that room and it's the office. But with that, it becomes overwhelming. And I hadn't really thought about the history of it all. And even though it's a laptop now, it is the center of everything. And there's the scanner and the printer and all the supplies. All the various files, like, it can be an overwhelming space that, unless it's thought out properly, can kind of swallow you.
It can. And the reality also today is that over 100 million people are now working at home,
wow,
either full or part-time. Mm. Yes. And at first, you know, the decor was may have been modest, but now it becomes important to define the needs that goes with your office work.
So where do you start, Charlene? It, you know, we always think of colors for a kitchen or the bedroom, which is conducive to sleep or, you know, eating healthy foods. What is a good color or a palette to start in your office before anything goes in there?
Well, before we get to the color, we really have to determine what would be clear the needs that we have for an office space. For example, we have to have a clear idea of what type of activity we're going to do there, and are we going to have visitors in our home office, and are we going to have employees? It also, very, very important is how the work that we perform in the home office will affect the other members of the household.
Right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
And what about lighting? I guess you want to make sure you get the right lighting off the bat, too, because that can really affect the natural lighting and the lighting that you put in.
Yes. However, the lighting does come towards the end of the planning of the office. You know, if you can definitely have different methods of using light in your office space, but you have to make sure that you establish the right territory first for your home office, you know. It has to have to be protected to create some privacy. You have to be able to
shut
the
door.
A separation uh-huh. from the family life.
Right.
Because a lack of separation, you know, would sometimes put the professionalism into question. In some situations.
Right, and that, depending on whether it's an office where you're seeing people, especially if they're coming into the home.
Especially, yes. Mm-hmm. If they come to the home, then where you locate it in the home is important. If you place it in a bedroom, it may not be so conducive to meetings with people that come to your home.
Right, so that's another thing to look at is the area you're going to use, not just the function, but whereabouts in your house if you were especially seeing clients where that should be and maybe a separate entrance.
Well, you should, ideally, however, you know, it does involve some expenses. If you do not have a second entrance, then the best case scenario would be to place your home office closer to the entrance altogether.
Okay.
You know, I found when we design home offices that the major problem people have is storage.
Right.
They feel that the storage is not always conveniently designed. It was maybe underestimated the amount of storage that they need for the work that they perform.
Right, and I think sometimes if it's a home office, a lot of other factors come into play. It could be, you know, all the rest of the family's filing and all the stuff they do, so they're also using that office, so it becomes cluttered. We're going to come back with Charlene and talk about, you know, all the different components, the pieces you pick, the desk, the chair, the paint color, the files, how you get it all organized, and maybe how long you have to keep things, and maybe not keep everything that you've ever had in that home office. Back in 2 minutes with Charlene.
This program is brought to you by Marigold Nurseries.
If it's the Callwood Crawl or a mess on the Malahat, we've got your back with more traffic more often. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
They say a picture is worth a thousand words. Okay, then what's a video worth? This is Kevin Ramsey of Fair Realty's Sweet Home Victoria real estate team. Let your property be the star of its own reality show on Sweet Home Victoria TV. Professional reality videos that take buyers on a guided tour and allow sellers to showcase the best attributes of their property. This is the future of real estate marketing. So remember, when it's time to sell your sweet home, for impeccable representation at respectable rates, go to sweethomevictoria.com.
There's lots of ways to show someone they're special. Thousands do it every day. But how do you take it to a higher level? This is what Paul Mara Jewelers is for. Finding that unique piece, that's something special for any occasion, and that piece that's perfect for everyday or more formal occasions. Paul Mara Jewelers, the highest level of quality and customer service, and over 25 years of showing people how special they are to each other. Paul Mara Fine Jewelry and Watches, corner of Fort and Broad, and paulmarajewelers.com.
Your home has a furnace, air ducts, a dryer vent, a chimney. When they're clean, it's home sweet home. When they're not, oh, dust, dirt, dander, soot, creosote, it's filthy in there. You could roll up your sleeves, or you could call the pros at Aero Services. For duct cleaning, they charge a fair flat rate. They don't charge per vent. One home, one price. And every job done by their friendly, professional, and Wood Energy certified staff is guaranteed, or your money back. For a free estimate, call 479-0090. Online at aeroservices.ca. A-E-R-O.
Need a strike project? Plant a garden. The timing couldn't be better. Pansies, violas, and garden mums will bring color to your life all winter long. So get started. Drop by Marigold Nurseries today and let your imagination run wild. If your garden's a bit on the drab side, put some color in it. New fall products are arriving every day. Marigold Nurseries on Lockside Drive in Sandyston, in Duncan, and at marigoldnurseries.com.
From our growing family to yours, Marigold Nurseries.
We are back with Charlene Ionescu from Aesthetic Concept Design Services talking about home offices that work. We had a little bit of a history before, and you know, I hadn't really gone down memory lane to realize that the evolution of the home office and how the computers played a big part in that. And with that comes a lot of storage needs. Where do we start now? So we've talked about the function, the service, the privacy. What are we going to look at then as we start either preparing or reinventing that home office?
Well, once all the needs have been determined and then the location has been decided upon, it's a good idea to make a quick floor plan to see if everything will be working well.
Right. Measure it out.
Yes, and then after that comes the fun part, which is to select the furniture that we will be working with. I think that the best single investment that you can make in your workspace is the sturdy and supportive chair. You know?
Yes, it's worth the investment, isn't it? Because you're going to be using it a lot.
Yes, it should be a priority because it does make a difference on the comfort you're going to have in your space.
And you want to make sure you go measure your floor plan so you can fit a desk that's not too big or too small and fits all your needs.
Yes, you know, you want at that time, that's when you're going to start to calculate the type of lighting you're going to install and the amount of work surfaces that you need, because if you are someone who is a floral arranger, then you will need to have more workstations than someone who would just work with paper.
Okay. Right.
So the second consideration, which is pretty important, is to pick up the right work surface. And that will help create scales, and it will add comfort. It will definitely define the style that your home office will have, and it will facilitate the room's purpose. You know,
we had a fairly small room and went with kind of a light bluey glass, which seems to make it look a little bigger and not so, crowded.
the color will definitely play on the mood and the atmosphere of your home office. I think that color is very personal. It's very powerful. It will either affect you in different ways. For example, if you put your home office yellow, you may find out that you feel hungry a lot more in it. Yes.
I don't need that. What color is your office,
yes,
Charlene?
Well, I have to tell you, it's pretty much covered with bookshelves. I have thousands of design bookshelves. So
that's your color.
It's pretty much oak, yes.
Oak.
And if you are using blue, that will help give warmth, and it will definitely give a lot of personality to the home office.
Hmm.
Then a red color would feel brighter, and it's good for writers or people that need to be inspired, and because they are very creative.
That makes sense.
Yes. And then basically there are no rules about choosing the color in your home office, because at the end of the day, you're the boss.
That's right. And you should probably treat that room, though, like any other room and try and make it look as aesthetically pleasing and fun or enticing, whatever it is that you need to keep you in there, so that it's not a room you hate like the old office that used to be, like you said, with the bed and just an afterthought.
Yes, there are also other elements of design that would help personalize your office space, even though you're working in it. It would be texture, for example. You know, texture is what nature guarantees, actually. So it is to color and the same as touch is to sight, and it will really brighten your senses.
What kind of texture What kind of texture can you add to an office? And would that be your drapes and your flooring, like a carpeting?
Well, some people, like, for example, I have a little area rug under my desk, so my feet are not standing on, and I like to remove my shoes as I work.
Yeah.
So I like to put my toes on that soft area rug that I picked up just for that. But other people would prefer, let's say, a soft fabric or covering their leather chair or leather, for example. The leather writing pad is a nicer texture or softer texture to write on than wood. The window treatments, if you, depending on the setting that you have, but some people would like to install their office in a room where there's a brick wall, so that's creating a lot of texture.
Right. I don't know if I'd like that too much, but I guess everybody has different inspirations. And what about the storage needs? If you're in a bedroom, say, and it's a closet, can you reconfigure stuff so that you can, you know, work efficiently? Because I think efficiency is something, you know, with a lot of files and a lot of stuff that gets lost.
Yeah. What happened with storage is that you really have to divide it efficiently. So what that means is that it depends on the work that is being performed, and then you have to create an inventory of all your records, supplies, and products. But not everything needs to be stored in one place. And the reason is because you have three types of storage in an office. You have the active storage, which is the materials that you access on a regular basis, such as documents, files, supplies. And then you have the inactive storage, which is the stuff that you occasionally need, such as bulk supplies, the completed client records or reference books. That one tends to expand over time, and you really have to make sure that you sort it periodically. And
yeah.
The last type of storage is the one we call dead storage, which is the stuff you need to bury to access once in a while. So it can be in an attic, in a basement, because you have to keep certain kinds of records for a few years. So the only requirement for that one is that it's well stored and it's not too hot or in a moist location.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I think I've never looked active, inactive, and the dead storage, because so much stuff that you leave at the bottom of the pile or the back of the filing cabinet that you know, you're right. It's not going to be needed for some time, and I guess label it and put it somewhere else. What about artwork? And I know you got your books up, so that's your inspiration. I know there's probably whiteboards and cork boards you want to put up. How do you put all that up, and maybe a little bit of personal taste, too, with some art?
Well, you know, again, that's part of the organization of the office, and it depends at the end of the day how much space left you have once you organize all the accessories that would go in it. You know, I think that the most important thing is to be in a room that's really, really pleasing. I don't know about you, but I do spend a lot of time in my office. And I, for example, place my desk next to the window, so sideways, so that I look outside. And the other thing is that if someone enters my office, I am in front of the door, so I'm not, my back is not towards the door, so which makes it also, you know, very comfortable. I have good lighting. I have the ambient light of the room, and then I do have task lamps at the different stations that I'm using. And all that helps towards the organization of my office.
I love this little home office we have. It used to be, we called it Baby's Room. It's where all our kids had, was their first room. And I always loved sitting there in a rocking chair and looking out, and I looked at the Tree of Life and all the stuff across the street. So when I sit there and look out, I can see, you know, my history there. I love the feel of this room. You know, I don't like sometimes the clutter, and I think the storage ideas are very helpful about the stuff I need to sort of move on somewhere. But I think it's a wonderful space, and I really enjoy it. Great tips today. Also, just tell us quickly, we've got about 30 seconds, where they can contact you, because you've got some courses at VIU as well you're offering this year.
Yes, I am at my office the rest of the time, which is www.aestheticc.com, AESTHETICC.com. And I'd be looking forward to talk to you back.
And if you want more information about Charlene and all that she does and to get her to help you, you can also contact me, lifestylewithpattymack.com. Nice talking to Charlene, and thanks for all the great ideas. I'm going to go home and get my office ready. When we come back, we have Chef Teresa Carl Sanders.
This is Tom.
Hey.
He heard clunking in his truck, so he took it to Island Muffler and Brake. They diagnosed and fixed the problem right away. It was his brakes.
Sure was.
This is Kelly.
Hi there.
She went to Island Muffler and Brake when she had a problem with her car's suspension.
They fixed it.
And this is the Davis family.
Hey, hello. How are you?
They wanted to keep their car running smoothly, so they worked out a regular maintenance schedule with, guess who? Island Muffler and Brake.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Island Muffler and Brake, serving everyone in Victoria for nearly 50 years.
You need money. You own your home.
I need money. I own my home.
Meet Get Acceptance.
Online?
Or on the phone.
Not like a bank.
No, it's a simple application.
Credit check?
Nope. No need for a credit check or income history. And approvals take about 24 hours.
I need the money for...
It doesn't matter what you need the money for. Need $15,000?
$50,000.
Or $300,000. Go to Get Acceptance.
And get...
Accepted. Get Acceptance. When you can't bank on the banks, go to getthatloan.ca. Some conditions apply.
Teamwork. That's what you need when you buy or sell real estate. Gary, Kathleen, and Blair McInnes fully understand this. Call us now at 250-727-1037 and get us working for you. Lenders, lawyers, notaries, tradespeople, staging companies, movers, etc. They're all a part of what we can assist you with. Call today, Gary, Kathleen, and Blair McInnes. Pemberton Homes Limited, the island's largest real estate brokerage. 250-727-1037.
This is Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
Good afternoon, John Spur with CFAX 1070 News. The New Democrats have made their first of what's expected to be a series of big announcements over the next little while. NDP leader Thomas Mulcair.
Bring in a $15 an hour federal minimum wage by the end of our very first mandate in power. That's what the NDP will be bringing to Canadians.
To a large group of supporters and fellow party members outside the Vancouver Art Gallery, Mulcair went to the next step in saying that the Liberals and Conservatives have done nothing to help with the ongoing issue of household debt increasing. He's also expected to address Unifor later on today as they continue their talks all weekend. Princess Sophie's tour of the region today started with a stop at Janice Place. CFAX 1070's Kyle Reynolds was there.
Janice Edroff herself was on hand to greet the Countess of Wessex and Lieutenant Governor Judith Guichon and take them on a tour of the facility this morning. The princess also spent time visiting one of the children who benefits from Janice Place. The mother of 9-year-old Abigail McCorkdale says the Port Hardy girl will have fond memories of getting to play foosball with a member of the royal family.
Well, it was very exciting being able to meet the princess. I'm really excited for Abigail, having been born with a medical condition and having had to go through everything that she's gone through, to have some opportunities like this for her, it's amazing.
Princess Sophie's tour today also includes stops at Our Place and UVic. It will conclude with an award ceremony this afternoon at Government House. Kyle Reynolds, CFAX 1070 News.
Two opposition parties are accusing the Harper government of signing on to a bad deal with China concerning foreign investment. Canada announced yesterday that it's finally ratified the Foreign Investment Protection Agreement with China amidst a series of recent tensions between the two countries. Earlier this summer, Harper accused the Chinese of a cyber attack on the National Research Council, while the Chinese claimed a Canadian couple living in China were spies. New Democrat MP Don Davies says the government has signed a badly one-sided agreement that gives China control over some of Canada's resources for the next three decades. Green Party leader Elizabeth May accuses Prime Minister Harper of selling out to China and predicts that no Canadian company will ever benefit from the agreement. This has been the biggest day of political campaigning so far, leading up to Thursday's independence referendum in Scotland. That included a peaceful march of 15,000 pro-unionists through Edinburgh and 35,000 pro-independence volunteers staging events across the country. The First Minister is trying to calm fears after former Scottish National Party deputy leader told the supporters there will be a, quote, day of reckoning with BP and the banks after the oil company and financial institution voiced warnings this week over Scottish independence. That's CFAX News to 133.
What's your name?
My name is Bruce Wayne.
Before Batman. Before Penguin, Catwoman, and Riddler. There was Gotham. Witness the origins of the infamous city. Where crime and corruption give birth to the most notorious supervillains.
I will find the man who did this.
Gotham. Mondays, starting September 22nd on CTV.
CFAX weather, currently 24 degrees, nice and sunny. Should be clear and sunny throughout the rest of the afternoon. We will see a high of about 25. Overnight, mostly clear. We'll see a low of 9, and then tomorrow, sunny with a high of 24. I'm John Spur. If it's happening, it's here. Victoria's News Authority, CFAX 1070.
He's hit seven different receivers.
Time to defend the title. The Seattle Seahawks are on CFAX 1070.
Catch the action live right here.
The Seahawks are on the road against the San Diego Chargers. September 14th, kickoff, 1 p.m.
Victoria's official home of the Seattle Seahawks.
Brought to you by Dumont Tirecraft and Harbor Air Seaplanes.
This is where the pros play. This is CFAX 1070. Now, Lifestyle with Patty Mack on CFAX 1070.
We are back, and so we're switching gears. We're talking about home offices that work. Now we're going to talk about some food that works. There's a great chef on Pender Island. Her name is Teresa Carl Sanders. She's on often. Her website is Island Vittles, and we're going to talk about lots of things today, but off the top, we're going to talk about what's in season and how Teresa's going to use those sort of products that are out right now. How are you, Teresa?
I'm well, thanks. I'm well.
Excellent. Now, I know you're always busy on the island, and your website's great because, you know, you've always got a certain joie de vivre, a certain zest for life, and it comes through in your written word and in the food that you produce.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it really does. And what kind of stuff right now are you harvesting, are you using?
Because I know... It's the foodies time of year right now. It's harvest time. And farmers markets are still in peak production, and I've been doing a little experiment for the last few weeks and buying dinner at the farmers market, which means that on Pender anyway, we don't have any meat vendors, so that makes it a vegetarian meal. Mm-hmm. And the tomatoes right now, we've had a really nice dry summer, so we've got a lot of tomatoes and a lot of basil, which is a classic combination.
Yeah.
And you can make that into a light meal with a salad, or you can turn it into something a bit more substantial using pasta of your choice, whether it's homemade pasta, which is always really nice. It's much, the difference between homemade pasta, which doesn't have to be difficult, and store-bought pasta is amazing. And it's always fun to watch someone eat homemade pasta for the first time because it's such a different taste, and it's so, I think it's much nicer.
Our friend Dave Ross, Big D, we call him, he's sort of our local chef, home chef, and he has a pasta machine, and we all one night got to make our own pasta, and it was really fun, and it is delicious. It takes nothing to cook, and it was ready in no time, and the flavor was incredible.
The flavor is incredible, and it always seems to hold the sauce better, and like you say, it's fun.
It is fun. Right, and so, if you're using tomatoes, though, you know, if people aren't using meat, say, give us some ideas how we're going to use those tomatoes as a main, not a salad.
For sure. What I did actually 2 weeks ago was I went and I stood in front of the best tomato grower we have on the island, and he talked me through a few of his tomatoes, and he had some nice plum or San Marzano tomatoes, which are the sort of the paste tomato that all the Italians always make their paste out of. And it's a good, meaty tomato. So I cut them in half, and I drizzled them with a little bit of olive oil and some salt and pepper, and I put them in the oven on sort of very high heat, 450, until they were a bit soft, and then I turned it up to broil and got them nice and bubbly and a bit brown on top. And I served that on a simple pasta that was tossed with a fresh basil pesto and some Parmesan cheese, which is, you know, about as simple as it gets. But the combination has been a classic one for hundreds of years for a reason, because it's so good, and especially at this time of year. The basil and the tomatoes are at their peak.
That sounds delicious, and I think a lot of people think they've got to just cut the tomatoes up and use them like that, but I haven't actually roasted tomatoes before, but I hear it brings out an incredible flavor.
They're sweet and they're lovely, and even, you know, even store-bought tomatoes in the middle of winter that aren't always the best in taste, when especially when you eat them raw. Yeah. If you pop them in the oven with a little bit of olive oil and salt and pepper and roast them, even just for 15 minutes to soften them a bit, they become much more palatable and much nicer for a sauce. And what I always do at this time of year is buy a bunch of tomatoes, and some of them I roast off, and then I put them in containers, and that becomes soup in the middle of winter.
Nice.
And some of them, I literally throw them in a bag, in a Ziploc bag, as they are raw. And when you pull them out, you'll find that the skins kind of come off, so you can sort of peel that tomato with one pull of the skin, and then you can make a lovely fresh tomato sauce in the middle of winter.
You got some great ideas. What else is in season? Corn, beets, what else
corn,
are you using?
Corn is big right now, and the weather looks like it's going to stay good for another little while. So barbecue grilled corn is always really, really nice. And there's a really simple way to make that quite a tasty meal is just to make up a compound butter. So a compound butter is butter with something in it. On corn, I really like a little bit of cheddar cheese and some chopped green onions with a little bit of pepper. In my
so
butter,
fancy.
And that's really, really nice. And the other thing it does is it thickens the butter up. So you know how butter, when you brush it on your corn, it always looks really pretty for about 3 seconds, and then it pools on the plate beneath the corn, and and you struggle. If you put a bit of cheese in it, it actually makes it stick to the corn better.
So how do you make that? Do you get soft cheese, and you just add it all together, and then you roll it and put it in the fridge?
You don't even have to do that. I don't roll it for corn. Some, you know, like a nice restaurant, when they're serving them bread and butter, they'll roll it in plastic wrap, and then you can make nice slices, and that's always really nice if you've got guests. But I just mash up some soft butter in a little bowl with some chopped green onions and some butter, or some feta and some, let's say, chopped black olives. I've done that one. That's really nice on the corn, too. It's not quite as pretty as the green onions on the corn, but it's really nice.
That's like a whole meal, then, if you can have all that stuff on top.
You can actually have a whole meal. And if you don't do butter, if you wanted to make it vegan, then you could just mix it with a bit of either solid coconut oil, or you could mix it with a bit of olive oil and just mash some garlic up and some chilies or something
Yummy.
Like that.
Yummy. And beets. I had some the other night. They were so good. I mean, sometimes you just get the right beet, and it's just so sweet and so good. You think, oh, I got to eat this every day.
Beets are undergoing a huge renaissance in our diet, and they are. They're lovely. I mean, that's where we get most of our sugar in Canada, is all beet sugar, right? They're really sweet, and they're lovely, and if you cook them right, Not maybe like my grandmother who used to boil them to death, but if you cook them right and mix them with a nice, let's say, olive oil and vinegar dressing, you have a really nice salad. Sprinkle a little bit of feta on there. Mm.
Sounds like you got a lot of great ideas for using the produce as main courses as opposed to thinking about what meat and then going backwards from there. When we come back
well,
with...
Meat's getting expensive, and I think most of us are sort of coming to the realization that 7 nights a week of animal protein isn't necessarily sustainable for the earth. And it's a good thing to help you stay fit, too, you know?
Absolutely. When we come back, I want to talk more about some of these recipes, also some of the local seafood around where we are, and how to incorporate some of that with some of these seasonal greens as well. Back in 2 minutes with Teresa.
Now, CFAX 1070 Community Connection.
Brought to you by Fairway Markets.
Hey, Victoria, I'm Keaton Livingston, letting you know what's going on around the area. Try something new on September 26th. The Culture Days weekend presents a unique interactive opportunity that invites the public to roll up their sleeves as they enter the behind-the-scenes world of artists, creators, and historians. The events are fun, creative, family-friendly, and are free. Culture Days is committed to reaching the goal of having all Canadians in every community declaring, "I love culture," and making culture a daily habit. Visit www.culturedays.ca to find out what events are closest to you. And keep your lunchtime schedule open on Wednesday, September 17th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. and join the United Way in Centennial Square for the 2014 campaign kickoff. The celebrations include free food, beverages, and the United Way fundraising goal announcement. Find more events at cfax1070.com. That has been your Community Connections, brought to you by Fairway Market. Fresher and tastier than ever.
Fall means baking, and Fairway Markets has everything you need. Look for the giant baking sale in your Fairway flyer. You'll find Robin Hood all-purpose flour. A 10-kilogram bag is just $7.99 with coupon. Rogers Sugar, a 4-kilogram bag is just $4.99. Look for baking nuts, chocolate chips, Dalton glazed fruits and coconut, and more during Fairway Market's Giant Baking Sales event. And while you're in the store, enter to win one of 10 PlayStation 4 game systems, courtesy of Ole Mill. If you haven't shopped Fairway Markets lately, you haven't shopped Fairway Markets.
This program is brought to you by Marigold Nurseries.
Giving you the power to be smarter than your smartphone. Tech Talk with Alan Perry. Saturday mornings at 10 on CFAX 1070.
We're back. I'm Patty Mack. This is Lifestyle right here on CFAX 1070 every Saturday. On the phone, we have Chef Teresa Carl Sanders. Her website is Island Vittles. She is on Pender Island, where there's all kinds of great food, and Teresa is cooking it. How about fresh seafood? You know, something I always want to cook is mussels. I've done it once, and they were a little undercooked. Maybe a nice meal with some mussels and some bread and maybe a little side salad. What kind of seasonal stuff can we have to go with that, and how do you cook mussels?
How do we cook mussels?
Yeah, so you know, like what sauce and how long and how do you know? Because I know they're supposed to be the easiest thing, but if you've ever cooked them and they're kind of, you know, mushy,
yeah,
that's
it's not
good.
Very nice.
No.
Mushy seafood is never good.
No.
When the first thing you want to do in the store when you're buying the mussels is have a good look at them. They should all be closed. There shouldn't be any open ones. And if there's one or two that are open, that's okay, but you don't really want any more than that. When you get them home, you then want to open up the package, and if there are any open ones, give them a quick tap on the top of the shell, and if they close right away, then they're fine because they're still alive. But if they don't close, then you toss those ones out, and you don't really have to scrub mussels anymore. They used to come with barnacles and all sorts of stuff on them, but because they're mostly farmed now, you don't have to worry about that. So you can pop them in a pan or in a pot. And I just usually pour in, you know, half cup of wine, maybe a bit of water, a couple bay leaves, maybe some peppercorns, just for flavor. So herbs for flavor, rosemary's lovely too.
So they're
then,
steamed really, are they, Teresa? Like you don't have to have the water too high.
This is a technique for steaming them.
Okay.
And once you've got them cooked, you can do all sorts of things with them. You can serve them just like that with some fries, and you have some moule frites, which is an old Belgian classic dish.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. Or one of the great recipes I learned in culinary school from my Parisian teacher was mussels with compound butter again. So he had tomatoes and this big, huge concoction of things that he used to mix with butter, but really chili flakes and maybe a bit of basil and some butter would be really nice. And you mix that all together, and then you smooth it on top of each cooked mussel. So once it's steamed and those shells are open, then they're cooked.
Okay.
And you can take them, then you want to take them out and you can eat them right away, or you can take half of that the top half of the shell off and just smooth some nice butter over top of that and then grill them in the oven for another 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got a big bowl of melted compound butter that's the tastiest thing in the whole world, and you've got a nice big loaf of fresh bread and some mussels and probably a nice green salad, maybe some arugula with some tomatoes and whatever else you like.
If I could cook like you, I'd be 500 pounds.
Well,
honest
there's
to goodness.
A lot of walking that goes around on Pender. With
that's so cool. I've never heard of that idea before of broiling it like that, like doing something after they've already
I have to tell you, it's a little bit insane. It's certainly not low-calorie mussels, and
oh,
you can. There is lots of ways that you can do them that is low-cal, but if you want to have a nice special meal and it's, you know, summer's almost over and you want to have one more meal on the deck with a bottle of wine, I would choose that mussels with the mussels with butter.
That sounds fantastic. And you're talking about, in the last second, about meat, and, you know, something people are doing more of, too, is eating a little more fish or shellfish. Salmon, scallop, shrimp, what, do you have any go-tos of those meals that you do, you know, week to week or
week
or monthly?
Week. Right now, salmon, for sure, because there's lots of salmon coming out of the water. I'm always one for spot prawns. I love shrimp, but the fact of the matter is most of the world's shrimp are either toxic or so low in stock that I just can't eat them anymore.
Yeah.
So the spot shrimp that we have on the West Coast are one of the most amazing fisheries in the world. It was a really short fishery this year, and we actually just used the last of our spot prawns from the freezer.
What a sad day.
Yeah, it was a little service was said. We also have a lot of albacore tuna, and we have boats that come to Pender with whole tunas. So, and I have a little gig that I have going on where I will fillet your fish for you, but I take one of the fillets. So,
nice.
Because a lot of people just don't have the skill and the big knife. It's a 25-pound fish takes a big knife to fillet.
Wow.
So,
and I guess you don't cook that too much. Is that the idea with tuna?
No, you just want to sear it.
And there's really no, you don't get sick from that, like when you eat tuna that's not quite.
I have never gotten sick from seared tuna in a restaurant or at home. You know, the one thing that you have to worry about tuna probably the most is mercury, which in a big fish that takes many, many years to grow big enough until we can harvest it, gets a lot of mercury in there. But the great thing about albacore tuna on the West Coast is we don't have that problem. They're quite young fish. They're harvested at 3 and 4 years quite often, so they haven't had a chance to build up the mercury in their system.
Right, and if you're eating it 7 days a week, it's different than, you know, weekly.
Well, nobody can afford to eat it 7 days a week. Except,
no,
you know.
Oh my gosh, you're so lucky. what about scallops and that kind of thing?
Scallops are always really nice. They're expensive, so you have to make them last. And I think the best thing to do, you really want to stretch them out. And the best thing to do with scallops, again, is the same as tuna, is to sear them. You don't necessarily want to cook them all the way through. They get rubbery.
Yeah, I think people have a hard time with seafood. I think that, you know, they maybe have it when they're out, but don't cook enough of it themselves to be confident and don't cook it properly. So
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there's a bit of maybe a mystique around it. It's actually quite easy to cook. The great thing about Victoria is there's a ton of cooking schools in Victoria, and they run great 2-hour, 3-hour afternoon classes. And I'm sure there's seafood classes that would get you a little bit of confidence just, you know, to have somebody help you with it once so you can do it at home.
Yeah, and I think if nothing else to add to your repertoire, you know, I never ate oysters when I was growing up. My dad always did, and I thought, ugh, they're gross. I love oysters now, and there's so many different ways to have. Now my kids, we go out, and they're having raw oysters and oysters Rockefeller, and, you know, there's so many things to do with seafood, and it's such a nice change than, you know, a hamburger.
And we live in the best place in the world to eat it, so we really should feast on it when we can.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to talk about some old classics, maybe soup, stocking up our pantry, and getting ready for fall. Back with Teresa in 2 minutes.
Test driving the all-new Lexus IS is easy. Turn right out of the dealership and head towards a sense of oneness with the road. Hang a left when your pupils dilate and the hairs on your neck go electric. Merge with a feeling of power and control. Then return to the dealership and bask in the afterglow. Sport-tuned suspension, aggressive body lines. Come see how it feels.
Lease a 2014 Lexus IS for only $535 per month with zero down for 48 months at 3.9% APR. See newspaper or visit Metro Lexus for more details.
Welcome back. Just in time for the Red Wing. Three bedrooms, almost 1,500 square feet, and the price is, wow, that's low.
And right behind it, the meadow. I love the balcony off the master bedroom.
There's the Alder. Look at all the space in that garage. You could fit an elephant in there.
The Hazelwood Crossing Parade of Homes. Imagine your custom floor plan, yard, garage, and no strata fees. All for a price that'll shock you in a good way. Visit the new showroom every Saturday and Sunday from noon to 4. Online at hazelwoodcrossing.com.
Need a strike project? Plant a garden. The timing couldn't be better. Pansies, violas, and garden mums will bring color to your life all winter long. So get started. Drop by Marigold Nurseries today and let your imagination run wild. If your garden's a bit on the drab side, put some color in it. New fall products are arriving every day. Marigold Nurseries on Lockside Drive in Sandyston, in Duncan, and at marigoldnurseries.com.
From our growing family to yours, Marigold Nurseries.
We are back. Chef Therese Carl Sanders from Pender Island. But man, she gets around. She has 45,000 people hitting her website on Wednesday. She has a little relationship with a book you might have heard of, Outlanders. Teresa, tell us this great story that's happening, because we've talked about it over the years, and what's the latest?
We have. So I have a little or it's actually not a little blog anymore. It's quite a big blog,
yeah.
OutlanderKitchen.com. And it's based on the food described in a series of books by Diana Gabaldon. And that series of books has gotten quite a bit of media attention lately, Outlander. And they've just turned it into a TV series. So it's on Showcase every Sunday night. And in Canada, I believe we're on episode 4, maybe even 5 tomorrow night. And then, and so every week, I've been putting up an 18th century Scottish recipe, because that's what the story is about. Mm-hmm. It's about a woman that time travels back to 18th century Scotland. So I made some cheese, some Scottish cheese last week, and we made some bannocks. And I've been doing this blog for about 3 years, so it's really, really fun to start getting a lot of attention.
And what happens with it, though? Like, so you do that, and then how are they distributing it to other people?
So they've been putting it on social media. So they're, the Outlander on Starz TV network Facebook page has over 300,000 fans, I believe. So they put my link up on their webpage, server dies for about 30 minutes.
How fulfilling is that, though, that, you know, the amount of time and energy you have put into your websites and to these recipes that are not easy to do, that no one else thought of it, but this came to you, and this is now other people are enjoying the fruits of your labor.
Well, yeah, you know, that's just it. It's really exciting to watch. Like, we've had a cook-along today on Outlander Kitchen. So
really?
On Facebook, I've been having people post their pictures of how the recipe is going. So today it is cheese. I put it up on my website on Wednesday, and everybody's gone out and gotten their ingredients. And today they've been curdling milk with a bit of vinegar and then draining the whey away and making cheese.
And what do you, like, every week you have to come up with this? So
yes.
Next week you're already kind of plotting and trying to figure out how they did it. Way back
when. I was a good blogger, I would already have it all scheduled and I would have it on my calendar. I'm not always the most organized blogger.
That's the best way to
be. There was a bit of a panic last week to get it up, but the one coming up for this Wednesday is all ready to go. I've got all my ingredients and I'll be cooking it tomorrow and taking pictures.
Well, make sure you go to, and what's the website again?
It's OutlanderKitchen.com. We'd love to have you.
Oh, very cool. Some of those old classics, well, you know, they're not even classics. Some of them are kind of strange, but some are classics. How do you make those into the new world? How do you use some of those for fall recipes, stuff that came from centuries before us?
Centuries?
Well, a little bit before us.
Well, and, you
a
know,
stew.
Food production has changed a lot. So we have to, I always try to remind people that the food that we have now is not the food that they had 200 years ago. So in Scotland, for example, there was no wheat in Scotland because it's just too harsh a climate to grow it, and there were no potatoes either. So even though now potatoes are ubiquitous across Scottish cuisine, there were none 200 years ago. So you have to remember that when you're making up recipes. You have to go back and look at the agricultural situation and what they were growing. But what they did grow a lot of was obviously oats and barley. And you can make a wonderful risotto with barley. You can also make a wonderful risotto with steel-cut oats. Totally different grain, still gluten-free, so as long as you're buying gluten-free oats. So there's lots of ways to bring old world food, and I think a lot of people are getting interested in doing that just because a lot of the food that we have in the grocery store now is pretty processed. And I'm not convinced, and a lot of people aren't, that it's very good for us.
No, I mean, last week we had on Patricia Chewy talking about nutrition and, you know, restaurants and some of the ones with, you know, a lot of the starch and white foods. And there's a lot of great restaurants with great products, but that, you know, we need to eat more colors and, you know, get kind of back to the natural stuff. This time of year, people want to make kind of, you know, stews and soups again. I know you make a lot of soups, and how would you incorporate vegetables, tofu? What's a good recipe for a good winter's or fall soup?
A good vegetarian fall soup would be like a red lentil. I've never actually put tofu in soup, so I don't
really
know. Well, except a miso soup or something like that.
Okay.
But like a red lentil, or my personal favorite is green pea with a ham hock in it.
Mm.
And one of the best ways to really get a flavorful soup is to start with a good stock. So you either start with a vegetable stock or you start with a good chicken meat stock. And if you can make it at home from bones, that's even better, because the stuff in the store, whether it's vegetable or beef or chicken, is full of salt. Even the half-salt stuff is full of salt. And it's really hard to make a tasty soup that you cook a long time with something that starts as salty, because the more you cook something, the saltier it gets.
Okay, so you're going to boil off your bones, you're going to boil off your vegetables,
yeah,
then you strain the veggies, strain the meat, and you're left with a nice broth.
And you're left with a nice stock. And if you go onto Island Vittles and look up stock, I've got every type of stock you could ever use.
Mm.
There's a recipe there for it. And once you've got that, you can make anything. You could make a lovely mushroom soup. You could make red lentil with cumin and coriander and maybe a bit of red chili in there is a really nice, lovely soup. And what I always try to do with soups is cook them off the day before we're going to eat them, so they sit in the fridge and they develop all that flavor, because
soup is
always better the next day.
It's like chilies or anything, right, or spaghetti sauces. Everything kind of tastes better if it's had a little bit of time to sit. And I think soups are a nice go-to, because if you can do them with some beans or something, you've also got the protein aspect and it's all in one pot.
Totally, and it's so easy to cook twice as much as you need and freeze it.
Nice.
And if you're going to make a cream soup, just don't put the cream in it before you freeze it.
Okay, I got like 30 seconds left. What's your best egg recipe that you like to do?
My best egg recipe,
yeah,
quite honestly, a scrambled egg on toast.
Mm. Are you a...
Or a quiche. But for simple, like breakfast for dinner, because it's Friday night and you don't, and all you really want to do is sit on the couch and have a glass of wine.
Are you cream? Are you water? Are you, what do you
think? I am whole milk.
Whole milk, okay.
And probably too much butter.
Oh, I bet that's good. Okay, well, listen, it's great talking to you. Thank you, TJ, as always. People, if they want to get a hold of Teresa, islandvittles.com, also my website, lifestylepattymack.com. Good luck with all your endeavors. Wonderful talking to you, as always. And everybody listening today, get out there and enjoy your life.